everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk Live. It's 4 o'clock on a Thursday or Tuesday or whatever day of the week it is. That's how you know you've been too many things right before the show starts. Trying to get some ducks in a row here. It is time for Sports Talk Live. This time of day, every Tuesday and Thursday, when we talk nothing but sports, Alabama, Auburn. Does anybody else really matter? Here to tell you more about that, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
And thanks, Jay and Ronnie. Welcome, everyone, to the show again today. It's our third edition in Season 2.
Absolutely. Hey, Jason.
I think
hey,
if Jay. We want to make this introduction really entertaining, y'all should go ahead and do another promo live so everyone can hear how good you're at that.
Yeah, they go
everybody
over
missed
well.
That. We tried to do a little promo before the show in the last 4 or 5 minutes, and it didn't turn out too well.
We don't read very well.
Well, my chicken scratch. It's kind of tough to read you coming in. But
I can't. If I don't have my glasses on, you can write it.
You know how us professionals do that, right? We actually type it out and print it.
We had about 5 minutes there to do it. So it would take me longer than that to type it, I promise you.
I have to wear my glasses or I can't see any. The only size font I could see would be that a kindergarten teacher puts over the board, you know, with the letters. That's the only ones I can see without my glasses.
About the same shape. I can't see anything. I bought some real good reading glasses and they work really well.
Until
I put them on one day, laid them down. I hadn't needed them since then. They're still at the office, but they work well.
They work well. Yeah. So they're basically still brand new glasses.
That's right. Anybody need to buy them, I'll sell them to you right.
There you go.
Dollar a pair.
Well, you can sell, that's for sure.
Yeah. Car sales this week.
That's right. You've been in car sales.
Put Ronnie in a new set of wheels.
That's right.
Now driving an Avalanche.
Yeah, and loving it, too.
Got rid of his
I highly recommend them.
Yeah,
even though they don't make them anymore, I know that. But wow, what a nice ride.
And it makes me want to throw up right now thinking about the one I crashed.
You may open the window so you can look out and see the one I'm driving.
No, I don't. Well, Ronnie, somewhat big news, I guess, coming both out of Alabama and Auburn. Alabama quarterback situation even thickens, the plot thickens.
Absolutely. You know, it's... I got a text the other day from one of my boys that said, you know, like everybody just went berserk when Coker didn't show up for practice.
Yeah.
You know, Coker, hey, did you hear Coker is, you know, absent from practice? He's not there. And I said, no, I haven't heard it. So immediately my mind, like probably most people, well, he's not going to get the starting job. And so he's gone. But that wasn't the case.
And somewhat similar to that, on the other side of the state, Duke Williams back in practice for the Auburn Tigers. I know that's got to be a relief for Coach Malzahn.
Back in the fold for this week.
You know, some rumor he may have suffered an injury on his first or second day back at practice.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard he was in a boot and maybe on some crutches or something. But, you know, putting the kids in boots now is about like them putting their tennis shoes on. You know, If you remember, and I'm sure you do, Trey Mason wore one the whole season unless it was during a football game, and he really didn't have a problem during the game, I'll say that.
No.
So,
Duke
seems to have an ankle problem to some degree, and then, of course, Coker, everybody was going bananas. He has an injury that required some minor surgery. Now, I don't know what minor means. I do, too. Minor means it's not surgery on you.
Right.
That's what minor means.
You said that, right.
You know, if it's surgery on you, it's not necessarily, usually not minor.
And if the quarterback battle is really that close, is it that big a deal for Alabama? I don't know. Is Coker really the man and it just hadn't come out and now Alabama's set back?
I don't know.
Is he the
man
anyway?
I don't know. I don't have a clue. You don't hear much out there of anybody else who does. And really, unless he's just really keeping it under wraps. And I don't know why he would. Why Saban would keep it quiet if he has a starter. I mean, that would make no sense at all. That's just more controversy, you know, more things to get under his skin when reporters ask him questions about it. So I think it's just that no one has established themselves as a starter. Now, what does this do to, you know, if it's close, does this have a, you know, an effect on who they ultimately pick? If it's, you know, very close between Coker and the other four quarterbacks? Because Coker can't practice right now. Don't know how long he's out. Yeah. You may know. I don't.
I don't have any idea, but I think that pretty much sums the game up, though. I think Coker is now at least second. I don't see him having this kind of injury, missing some practice, and being the starter to start the season.
Yeah, and we open up here. Our college football opens up September the 5th.
Right.
You know, this is August the 18th. So, you know, about 2 weeks of practice really is about what they've got left. So,
and high school kicking it off this Friday night.
Absolutely.
Three local teams, I guess.
Yeah.
If you count Addison as a local team.
That's right. That's right.
Three teams kicking it off. So, who we got?
Yeah, Coast Springs is kicking it off this Friday, which is the 21st. They play at Brilliant. Addison also plays, like you said a minute ago, they play Pickens County at home. And then the Coleman Bearcats play ARAB, the Arabian Nights, and that's will be played here at on the campus of Coleman High School. So those are the three teams that are playing this week.
Now, this may be something you don't know either, but why are these three teams playing a week earlier than everybody else?
I think they had, Jason, there were, and if someone knows specifically, give us a call, tell us. I think they had an option. You could either play a jamboree or not play a jamboree, and if you didn't play the jamboree, you could basically play the week of the 21st, and then you have a bye week somewhere during the season. So I think that's kind of what it has to do with the jamboree game that you did not play.
And, you know, it's hot the 28th, but the 21st just sounds hotter.
I know, but, you know, this week, boy, you talk now, with all the rain we've had and coaches have spent – if people don't have a – if they don't really understand and they go to the game on the first Friday night that a local team is playing at home, and people say, boy, doesn't that field look nice? Bright and green, well cut and well manicured. That's because, at least in the county schools, of course, Coleman, you know, has the turf, so they don't have to
there
deal with that.
Stays
green all the time. That's right. It never goes dormant. But that just doesn't happen, Jason. I mean, the work that goes in – to getting a field ready for, you know, the end of August, it is almost a daily routine of keeping the field mowed, keeping it, you know, at times keeping it watered, keeping it fertilized, because that Bermuda grass, you know, every 2 to 3 days it's got to be mowed.
Yeah.
And so when you go out and you go to a game to watch, and you look at that beautiful field, you know, if you get a chance, tell those coaches, you know, how nice it looks, that you appreciate the amount of time that they've put in making their fields look good, because it's almost a daily chore.
And these coaches on the local level anyway are doing it for the love of the game and the love of the kids. They're not doing it to get rich.
No, they're certainly not. They're certainly not going to get rich with a coaching supplement.
The time that they put in, and then the money that is in their hand at the end of the season, you know, that they're not doing it for the money.
No, they're not. But, you know, we're talking about the fields, Jason. With all the rain we've had this week, and then, you know, those teams that are playing at home, if this rain continues, you talk about wearing a field out early. You know, and then they've got the rest of the season to have to play on it. So maybe it will dry out a little bit. Maybe we'll get a break from, you know, some of the rain. I know we need the rain, but get a break from it maybe Thursday and Friday. Let these fields, if they can, dry out a little bit and, you know, not destroy what these coaches have worked all summer long. Or many times quarterback club members, you know, that also help, you know, with the fields. Sometimes it's not just all coaches. Sometimes they have a quarterback club, you know, that's involved, that's active, and is willing to, you know, come up and participate and help. As well as, Jason, I'm sorry to dominate, as well as there are some schools I know that band parents also come and help do some things to take care of the fields. I'm not saying that happens everywhere, but I know some places that it does happen because, hey, they use it too.
Whoever will throw a hand in.
Absolutely. Anybody can hold a shovel or a rake or a weed eater or whatever else, you know, they are welcome to help, I know.
That's kind of the way it is around the house, too.
That's
anybody
right.
Anybody that wants
all
to
volunteer together, work, greatly appreciated.
The number, 256-737-9505, a little different number this year, 737-9505. And once again, you're welcome to call. You'll get Jay, and if you want to speak to one of us, we'll have to go to the phone. Can't get you on the air as we did last year right now. We're still waiting on parts to come in and
from the thunderstorm we had last week, wasn't it?
So that is still
we can get them on the air, just be like it was Thursday.
Right. We can't sit here tonight. We can't do it like we did last year.
Yeah, yeah. So, and another editorial comment. You heard the phone ring a minute ago. That was me testing. But the thing that we're using to get people on the phone right now is preventing the phone from actually ringing. So, I have to watch it and see the little light.
Oh, wow. It didn't vibrate or anything.
I don't get paid enough for this.
That's right. You don't.
Hey, over in Mississippi, Ronnie, making news.
The great state of Mississippi.
Something that's really going to perk your interest. Then I want to throw something at you.
All right.
It's real interesting. And I wish Eddie Gwynn was still in this part of the country because of the hard time he gave me about some Auburn players getting in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And, but Eddie's no longer. He's moved on. No,
but you can bet I will send him this.
Oh, I know you will.
But before I get into that, Mississippi State planning to pursue the Guinness Book of World Records for cowbell ringing.
Mississippi State.
You know, they're
boy, that is,
for the cowbells.
God, is that not annoying?
There's nothing more annoying
now,
than those cowbells.
I've never been to a game at Mississippi State.
I haven't either. Probably won't ever go to one.
No, I won't either. But do they bring those, you know, when Mississippi State plays at Auburn, do they have the cowbells with them?
Yeah. They
bring, they go with them everywhere.
Cowbells. Now, tell me how that is legal.
What's different?
No artificial noise-making devices allowed.
Absolutely.
In the stadium,
so. That has to be. Just listening to it on TV is unbelievably annoying. I could only imagine if I'm sitting just beside somebody who's ringing that bell.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And if I had a seat at in the stadium at Mississippi State, I would be on that, you know, that fine line where you got Mississippi State fans and then the Alabama fans or the Mississippi State and Auburn fans start. I would be right there, right there on that corner.
Yep.
And that ringing would be in my ear all night long. I don't see how they stand it.
They are planning to have 15,000 people ringing cowbells at the same time. The previous record is only 1,021 people who rang cowbells at the Cowbell Classic 10K and 5K run on August 1st in Royal Oak, Michigan. So
is this going to take place in the stadium?
Yeah, it will take place in the stadium. They're expecting 58,000 fans somewhere in there, so I guess 15,000 of them have cowbells. Guinness is real tough. I know Desperation Church tried to make an effort to have the world's largest Easter egg die. And, man, by the time they got through seeing all the stipulations that Guinness had, you know, I think that was...
Wasn't worth it.
Yeah, but I can't imagine how they're going to keep up with this and get an accurate count of it and so forth. And it's going to be more to it than just saying, well, they broke the record because 15,000 people.
So somebody's going to be standing at the exits with a counter.
Yeah, somebody will have to count every
one of them. Yeah.
So, you want that job?
I pass on that.
And I'm digging for what I wanted to start out today with, Ronnie. I think I wrote that down. But I ran across an article just out today.
For Eddie?
Yeah, for Eddie, or pretty much any Alabama fan.
Oh, okay. So you're throwing the gauntlet down here early.
Yeah, throw it down early. Here is the, we've got time, the top 25. The top 25 now in players arrested over the last 5 years. So, I'll start here, and we've got a tie for number 23. There's three teams tied at number 23.
Okay.
Auburn, Colorado, and Kansas each had 13. Then we'll skip up to, we'll hit some SEC teams. Arkansas is at 19 with 14 players arrested. This is the past 5 years.
How many?
14. LSU is at number 15 with 16 players arrested.
And this is in 5 years.
Yeah, there's a five-way tie for 15th place.
Okay.
Alabama comes in at 12 with 18 players arrested over the past 5 years.
Okay. And how many did Auburn have?
Auburn had 13.
Okay, 13 and 18.
Florida State, the team that we like to kind of take
jobs
at, 19 coming in at number 10. Only one more than Alabama.
Yeah. 19. And they're 19 arrested, and that's the number 10?
And that's the number 10. Missouri has a tie for number 6, a three-way tie. They have 20. Texas A&M and Georgia are tied for third with 22. Florida, the Florida Gators, are second with 24.
That's the highest ranking of anything they've
had. Yeah, by far. the winner, number one ranked team and players arrested, Washington State.
Washington?
31.
Why, I would have never guessed Washington State.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Who would think Washington State?
Off the top of your head, Washington State, what is their mascot?
You know, I understand Washington has a lot of technology companies, too, so maybe that has something to do.
Maybe they're stealing laptops.
Yeah.
iPads. iPhones.
I have no idea. Washington State and Auburn played them.
Cougars.
Is it Cougars?
Isn't it?
I don't know. It sounds good to me.
I think it is. That's where Leach is the head coach, is it not? Mike Leach?
That probably explains a lot of it. That explains a lot of the 31.
He's an old pirate, you know.
But running both our teams in the top 25. Well, team
not something that you want to be.
Right. Ohio State. You know, they're the number one ranked team in the nation right now. They're nowhere to be seen in the top 25, although I did see that they had 10 players arrested.
But how long has Urban Meyer been there?
Was this year three?
Okay. It's about time.
Yes, it'll start.
It'll start now that Urban Meyer's
there. Look at Florida, 24.
Exactly right. And when he was there, you know, hey, when he was there, they would have been like the old movie, The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
You know, they were all convicts.
But we both have been kind of guilty of piling on Florida State and Jones.
It's all fun.
Yeah. But if you look at the figures, we really don't have a lot of room to say anything about criminals playing football.
No, Alabama is just one behind.
And Alabama probably moved themselves up in that rankings a lot this summer.
Yeah.
They had a week there, four or five arrested in a week and a half?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all know if there was 15, 18, 20, whatever arrested, you could easily double that. It's just they didn't get caught.
Right.
You know, the others didn't get caught.
Yeah, probably triplet.
Yeah, sure. So,
you know, I've had to ask myself something over the last couple of days. Melissa was catching up on some of this NFL preseason stuff over the weekend. And, you know, there were a lot of camera shots of famous Jameis. You know, now that he's pro, I wonder if we'll hear as much stuff about him.
I don't.
Probably not.
Not with Donald Trump in the news anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Trump's going to dominate most of the news right now. So.
Yeah.
Well, understandably
Did you get a chance to see Jameis?
I watched a little of that.
I didn't watch any of it.
He had good moments, and he had bad moments. You know, but he looked more physically fit than he. And maybe it's the uniforms. You know, kind of makes him look maybe a little thinner or something. But he looked like he was a little bit leaner.
I heard that about Tebow too. You know, he had some good moments and some bad.
He did.
There were a lot of Tebow cries on Facebook at a certain time over the weekend.
There's always going. You know, Tebow is just a lightning rod.
Yeah.
You know, for controversy and none that he wants him. I don't think he wants it himself. It's just drawn to him, and you know, for the most part. And we certainly won't turn it into a religious segment, but that's a lot of the reason that he gets the ridicule he does, because he is very vocal about his faith and you know what he believes, and you know it's pretty obvious he's going to get hammered for it. I hope he makes it. I hope he makes a roster somewhere. If he can't make it with the Eagles, with the style of play that Chip Kelly uses, you know, it was Oregon, you know, it was a lot of read option stuff, and, you know, the quarterback, you know, making a read, handoff, short throws, those kind of things. If he can't make it in that system, there is not a system for him in the NFL.
Right, and I'm thinking that may be the case. I'm thinking, hey, Tebow is a good college player, but I don't know that he's cut out for the pros.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that he's the starter. I'm not even that's not even within the realm of possibility. But just making the club, you know, being that third quarterback. Because
why is he so hard headed and so set on playing quarterback that he won't? Except trying to play another position.
Yeah, he had some opportunities, you know, a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, to move and be a, you know, an H-back or a tight end or something like that. But honestly, I believe that time has passed him back now.
Yeah, probably.
I don't believe anybody would be interested in him to change positions. I don't think they would now. So wish him the best. I hope he makes a club.
Yeah, you want to see good guys make it.
You absolutely do.
Sometimes good guys have to make wise decisions.
That's right. You know, but you know, you got Sam Bradford there, you got Mark Sanchez, then you got Tebow, and then you got the kid Matt Barkley. that played at USC. So, you know, they normally keep three quarterbacks on their active roster. It's going to be tough, you know, for him to be on the active roster. Of course, Mark Sanchez is about as mediocre as anybody can get.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And if you're a team like, say, Jacksonville, you're in the Florida area, Tebow, a huge following in the Florida area, why do you not bring Tebow on? If nothing else, bring him in. Put fannies in.
Oh, absolutely, because it's about dollars and cents.
Oh, yeah, you're going to sell a ton of jerseys.
I don't know. Let me ask you this. Who's Jacksonville's starting quarterback?
I have no earthly idea.
Right. That tells you a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the – is it the kid from Central Florida?
I just know they are bad. Yeah. And they're bad in every aspect.
Absolutely. But, yes, would I put Tebow – in a Jaguars uniform, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. 424 coming up on 425. We're going to go to a short break. Be back with the number 737-9505. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5. Coleman.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Back with you, 427 on a somewhat rainy Tuesday afternoon. Ronnie, did you get any rain at your house today?
I got about the tenth of an inch.
Yeah, boy, I'm telling you. It came down.
Man, I went to the bank earlier, and there was a gentleman in there doing a little banking business, and I don't know how this could be accurate, but he said he checked his rain gauge this morning. He had 6 inches.
Well, I think that I don't know when Dad had emptied his, but it was showing right at 6 inches.
Okay,
this morning,
well, there you go. I thought this guy must—he must not have emptied it in a month, you know. But
did it rain all night and we just didn't know it?
I don't know.
Well, it came down this morning.
Yes,
in fact,
did.
I got out to Mother and Daddy's and sit in the truck for a few minutes to let it slack up, so I didn't melt when I went in.
Yeah.
Hey, question, real quick, Ronnie, before we get into something any more serious, have you heard James Harrison of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I loved it.
Is loved what he did. The trophy. They don't want the participation trophy.
Is that not spot on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I agree with him 100%. Never made one of mine take one back or anything like that.
No, I did.
But I do see what he's saying.
Oh, I thought it was great. What a great life lesson that he's teaching. James Harrison was – now, I think he's retired out of the NFL now, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. He was defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers for many years, and boy, what a man! I mean, just a massive man. But I love what he did with his kids. Jason, tell everybody what he did.
They brought home. Everybody's done it. Your kid plays a sport and then gets what we call a participation trophy that just says, "Hey, you played."
That's right.
Don't mean you done anything, but you paid your money and you played. And so he returned the trophy and says that he wants his kids to earn a real trophy, to win something.
Sorry. That's my computer.
Is that you? Hey, it was coming in loud and clear.
Loud and clear there, buddy.
But he wants his kids to earn a trophy, to be the best at something, to strive to be the best at their position or their game, and to win a real trophy. And we do it everywhere, all the peewees, wee-wees, and all, and then they get up in high school, and all the trophy and glamour is gone.
Yeah,
and they think, now what's wrong with this picture?
Well, and again, you said it too. Our kids, they played peewee, and I know, this is probably going to offend some folks, but it just got so far out of hand.
No doubt about it.
And it is all about the kids. I got that. It's about the kids and about them getting to play and them enjoying the sport and learning a little bit about it and learning about teamwork and sports.
I'll tell you what it was about. It was about all the kids like me who sucked at playing sports.
Gave you a chance to play before you had to try out for the middle school team, Jay.
That's right. I was really good at airplane watching in the outer field.
Well, that's what they make Park and Rec for. But it got to the point where, some folks were having, these elaborate banquets that were even nicer than we could have for our varsity kids.
Yeah, and hiring limousines.
Limousines to ride them around and trophies, 4 foot tall. And, our high school kids, if they won an award, for varsity basketball or football, they get about a 8x10 plaque,
right.
Maybe an 8x10 plaque. And
if you're awarded all county or all tournament, you get a little certificate.
You get a piece of paper. That's exactly what you get. You get a piece of paper, and you can put it in a photo album, or you can put it in a frame. But you're exactly right, and that piece of paper with it printed computerized printing on nice paper is $1. I can tell you right now.
That's going all out.
That's what it costs is $1.
Here it is, looking back from somebody that has done it. Ronnie and I both have done it. And like Ronnie said, I'm sorry if you're involved in this now and feel different. But
everybody's certainly entitled to their opinion.
Most of it is not about the kid. 15 minutes after the ball game's over, most of these kids don't give a flying rip.
No.
I mean, it's a ball game. It was fun. No. Let's go do something.
The first thing they ask is, do we get a free Coke?
Yeah.
That's all they want to know. Do I get something to eat?
Daddies has bit off all their fingernails, and they're going home to watch the game tape.
Yeah.
Get together with the other dads to plan for next week's game.
Or get in a fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
getting
that's
a
why
fight.
You have to have a policeman
Absolutely.
Present at a Pee Wee ball game. Not because the kids are fighting.
No, you got more of an opportunity to have a problem with Pee Wee games than you do a varsity game. That's just the way it is.
I'm with you. It has got out of hand, and it seems to be getting more out of hand as time goes.
You see it all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Man, did you see that probably 2 or 3 weeks ago? I don't know where it was. I want to say California, where these two dads tied up.
No, I missed that.
They both got arrested. I'm telling you, one of them beat the other one senseless. He looked like
over a peewee ball game.
Yeah, it was over. One of them I think was the coach, and he cut the other one's kid or something. And I'm telling you, it was bad. I mean, he messed that guy up.
Mm.
They were rolling around like two dogs out there
over a ball game or a
over
kid
a
not
kid
playing.
Getting cut, and I think he's about 8 or 9 years old. So go figure.
Hey. That give that dad a lot of free time to be working.
That's exactly right.
Go home and work with him, maybe he won't get cut.
That's exactly right. And he can think about how he's going to work with him while he's sitting in jail. Oh, man. But,
if you got an opinion on that, give us a call. Let us know. Hey, we're out in left field. Maybe we are. I don't know, but we, Ronnie and I, have both been down that road, and I'll be the first to admit I took it too serious when Tyler was playing and Eric was playing. Brittany even took those games serious, but hey, it's not life or death. It's peewee basketball, football, or baseball. So I think we've got Jeffrey on the line. We're going to do this a different way. Ronnie, you want to take that call from Jeffrey?
Coach, I think you messed up that first day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Jeffrey. You got that right, man.
So what are
you
talking about today?
Oh, well, we were talking about a subject that we thought you may have heard of. Jason was going over the top 25 teams from the last 5 years with the most arrest.
I'm pretty sure Florida State's right behind Alabama.
Florida State and Alabama were neck and neck. They were right there. They were right there together. Auburn was on further down the list, but that's just because they don't. The police force is a smaller force, I guess. They only have two or three cops. They don't have as many to arrest.
Well, when you got the kind of money Auburn's got, the players the way they play them. I mean, you can obviously pay off the police force, right?
Oh, Jason's over here, his face turning red as a beet.
I wouldn't do it if I didn't care.
Exactly.
The same thing to me.
That's right. Hey, what kind of football team is Florida State going to have, Jeffrey?
Well, Jason, I've been talking back and forth with Jason, and y'all's a little guru guy come on there. I believe he said it's the top five team.
I think that's right.
I don't know about that.
You think that's a stretch?
Yeah, the receiving core is probably the best receivers we've had. I was telling Jason that the receiving core is probably the best receivers Florida State's had in forever, probably.
Yeah.
And that's even including the 90s. The offensive line is young. The quarterback situation, we don't know what's going on there. I sure hope it ain't that McGuire guy. Cause, saw what he did, what he didn't do in Clemson game. But the place struggling with the offensive line and linebackers.
That, you know, Jeffrey, offensive line is a bad place to struggle.
It is. I'm not saying they're bad. They got a lot of young talent.
Right. So now
the defensive ends are going to step up this year because we got that Coach Lawley.
Yes.
From Florida. Apparently, right. McElwain didn't want him in his coaching staff. I don't understand that.
Uh-huh.
But
sure.
He's produced some great defensive ends.
Right. So who is going? If we say, or you may not say, that Florida State's the best team in the ACC, then who's right behind them, or who's right ahead of Florida State?
I would say it's going to be neck and neck between Florida State and Clemson.
Clemson, that's what I was guessing.
Yeah, I don't think, and the sad part is they're both in the same side.
Yes, so, they're same division.
Whoever wins that game, whoever wins that game in that division will probably win the ACC.
That's true. You know, and I've seen a few times where with some, you know, sports gurus, they were saying, you know, Clemson was one of those clubs that have an outside chance, you know, of getting in that 4-team playoff. So they must be pretty solid.
I don't see that. Clemson always chokes them. From.
You're right.
Clemson is the Georgia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hate to say that about Georgia, but Georgia always finds a way to get out of the SEC tournament or to lose once they get in.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the SEC, who's going to win the West?
I'm going to have to go with Auburn.
Going with Auburn over Alabama. Yeah. Jason's over here, you know, high-fiving it now.
Well, the only reason it being is Alabama struggled at quarterback.
Right.
You know, who's going to do it, who's going to not.
Well,
Coker coming from Florida State to Alabama, the biggest thing that hurt Coker as far as being, in my opinion, is being able to play was the hiring of Lane Kiffin. Because Lane Kiffin doesn't run a pro-style offense. That's what Coker was used to. You know,
I agree with that. I'll give you that.
It was supposedly neck and neck between him and Jameis under Jimbo's offense. Well, then he leaves to go to Alabama, and they hire Kiffin, and he doesn't look like he's never quarterbacked a game in his life.
Good point, Jeffrey. Okay, then if it's not Coker, who's it going to be?
See, I don't even know enough to tell you. I don't look at Coker to start.
Yeah.
And that
Cornwell?
Yeah.
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 Well, and that may very well be it. And Jason and I talked a little bit earlier about, you know, this minor surgery that Coker's had. You know, I don't know how long he's going, how many practices he's going to miss or anything like that. So, you know, I don't know what that does to his opportunity to start. It may not have any, you know, bearing right. whatsoever. But I agree with you. I think he may get the nod to start with, but as the season goes on, I think he's going to get replaced.
Yeah, I believe he will.
My question would be, why would I play a senior when I've got a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore that's just as good?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it makes no sense at all.
It might be a twitch better.
Exactly.
Under that offense. Let me get that straight. Coker is a great quarterback. I'm not taking nothing away from him.
Right.
But the Lane Kiffin offense is not an offense for Coker.
Yeah. You know, from just the physical tools, he's got the physical tools to be in the NFL.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just like a Jeremy Johnson, you know, who people are raving about at Auburn, and Jason and I talked about this. You know, the hype this kid's getting at this point, and he's really done absolutely nothing. You know, it's just based all upon his potential. So.
Boy, yeah, I'm impressed with him. I watched him in that spring game. I know it's a spring game. It's glorified practice.
Yes.
But he threw a bomb about 60, 65 yards on the rope.
I heard that. He has a huge arm.
I was like, that's a little impressive right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if Florida – I'll ask you one more, and then we'll let you go. We'll have to take a break. Florida State, if they lose – how many games are they going to lose?
I say two.
Okay, who's going to get them?
Got to travel to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Clemson beats them.
Okay.
And I believe it's going to be a close game. Could go either way. It would probably be the second loss of Louisville.
Louisville. There you go. That's Louisville opened up with Auburn.
Yeah. Luckily, Florida State chose a good year to have a very – of course, people are going to say they have a weak schedule every year. But they have a really, really weak out-of-conference schedule this year.
Right. And scheduling has a tremendous amount to do with it.
Yeah, and they planned it perfect for what we'd be considering a rebuilding year.
That's exactly right. So, hey, Jeffrey, man, I'm glad you gave us a call. You know, make it a regular now.
Oh, I tried to.
Did you hear Jason? He said you got you a big war eagle.
Well, I just wanted to show that I wasn't shy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
A lot of things about me, I don't think shy is one of them.
You got that right, Jeffrey. Hey, man, call us back. Join us anytime.
Yes, sir. You
okay.
Have a good
one. All right. See you, Jeffrey.
Have a look.
All right. Hey, thank you, Jeff, for giving us a call there. It is 4. Talk Live 95.5.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A minimum wage increase for Birmingham workers. City Council voting to up the wage from $7.25 an hour to $8.50 by July of next year, $10.10 by July 2017. The state has no minimum wage, so Alabama follows the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Many calling the vote a deflection from the 233% raise the council, who serves in a part-time capacity, gave itself. Their base salary goes from $15,000 to $55,000 a year beginning in 2017. A tanker overturns on Highway 5 near Snotty Chapel Road in Jasper. Walker County officials say the driver was trying to miss an oncoming car when it swerved and overturned. It was carrying explosives similar to flammability of diesel fuel. Some of that spilled. Crews cleared it up. Etowah County Sheriff Todd Endrickin calling for better security at the courthouse. Once one entrance in and one entrance out. The county commission considering that move. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Attorneys for a former Madison cop caught on tape tackling a man to the ground in court today for a pretrial conference. Eric Parker facing a civil rights violation. He's set to go to trial September 1st. Prosecutors want the jurors to see only the first 2 minutes of the dash cam video. They say the man who was tackled did not speak English very well and didn't realize what was happening to him. Hoover School Board meets tonight talking about whether the district will become an authorizer for charter schools. The state legislature approved charter schools in March. Local school systems have until September 1st to decide whether or not to allow it. An increased police presence at Athens High School today after a threatening message was found in the boys' bathroom. Officials say no validity to the threat, but they had extra security there as a precaution. A trucking company ordered to pay overtime to its employees. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division ordering Fitzhugh Contracting LLC to pay over $112,000 to 63 employees for overtime. The company is a logging and trucking contractor based in Galleon. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Free feels good. Whether it's increasing the comfort of your home, saving money, or just being smarter with your home's energy use, Alabama Power is here to help you feel good about your home. Right now, you can get a free electric water heater from Alabama Power when you make the switch from gas. Or if you want to buy your own and switch, we'll give you $200. Call 1-800-990-APCO or visit alabamapower.com to find more solutions that give you the power to save. Alabama Power. Always on.
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we decided to get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners.
Is signing up to drive with Uber really hard?
It was simple and easy.
So if you have a phone, you can just sign up and earn money?
You just open the app whenever you feel like driving.
Sign up, drive, and you make some money.
Are the hours good?
I work less hours and I make more money.
Okay, this all sounds pretty great. What do you think I should do?
You need to sign up for Uber.
You can make serious life-changing money when you drive with Uber. Get started today at drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com.
In sports, Tom Brady was not on the practice field with the New England Patriots today, a day before a court hearing for the NFL and Players Union. Both sides due in federal court in New York over the quarterback's four-game suspension. Judge Richard M. Berman's been trying to move the sides towards a settlement of the dispute over deflated footballs. If there isn't one, Berman will decide if the suspension should remain in place. Chicago Bulls great Michael Jordan telling jurors during his trial against a now-defunct grocery store chain he values his image very preciously. It's been determined that Dominick's used Jordan's image without permission in a 2009 ad. A Chicago federal court must determine how much Dominick's owner must pay for the transgression. Jordan testified this morning he brought the lawsuit to protect his image. His attorney previously told the jury that the market value of Jordan's name to Nike was at least $480 million, and each commercial use of Jordan's name is worth $10 million. Danica Patrick gets a new deal to drive for Stuart Haas Racing, and SHR has signed a deal with Nature's Bakery to become her primary sponsor. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
Ronnie, that sound.
I know what that means.
It's been a while.
Cindy's ears perked up.
Yeah, I guarantee
she's got
you.
She's peeing listening. Out. She's stumbling and falling all over the house trying to get to it.
Hey, thanks to People's Bank once again for making Where's Moolah possible. If you in the bank got a chance, tell them thank you for making this possible and for funding.
Absolutely.
Christmas presents.
Our summer vacation.
I like how y'all did that. Y'all just kind of threw this in there. You didn't warn anybody it was coming up.
That's right.
You got to really be listening to the show for that.
That's it. You know,
we want the dedicated listeners.
That's right. So, you know, we're throwing the gauntlet down.
That's right. Yeah. Moolah has escaped the pasture again. People's Bank looking for Moolah.
Yeah.
So if you can help us, we're going to give clues to where Moolah is. Moolah is not physically hidden, only mentally, so don't go out searching this evening.
That's right. That's it.
Ronnie has the first clue to where People's Bank Moolah is lost.
Yeah, how much are we playing for?
$50.
$50, playing for $50. I have the first clue as to where Moolah is hidden, and it is as follows. If you are looking for a bargain, you might need to look there.
You might need to look there, and I will go ahead. We usually do this and give this out. Moolah has escaped Coleman County.
That's right.
Has got out of the county.
And I was sitting here thinking, goodness, how many Walmarts do we have in Coleman County?
That is another clue. It's not at Walmart.
That is your second clue. It is not Walmart.
Boy, Coleman becoming the Walmart capital of the world.
Hey, I heard the other day, may be true, may not be true, I don't know, that the Walmart in south end of town is the highest gross sales of any Walmart in the southeast.
That I heard that from a and very reliable source.
And you may have told me. I don't know where I heard it, but I heard it
because I've been telling several people that a local realtor, that we have been working with, told me that. And Coleman will be the smallest town in the United States with two Walmarts.
The smallest town in the United States with two Walmarts.
Right. So there that you tells you something.
There's some trivia.
Yeah.
That is not the first business that I've heard that about either. I'm trying to remember where else I've heard that about. But
Cracker Barrel.
That's right. I would believe that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Absolutely.
Yep. That is a fact.
And I don't doubt that one a bit. But, man, if you go to Walmart and you give people time to get up, you can't walk in there. So Coleman,
I don't go.
Coleman needs another Walmart, a Target, or something. So
yeah.
No, I don't go either.
I don't think you're supposed to say that T word very loud on the radio around here. But I don't know.
We don't get any Walmart money, so I can say Target.
Are you?
Where we won't anymore now.
Oh man, that's right. All right, Jason, what you going to lay on us?
Interesting question. Hey. Let's give the number out, 737-9505.
That would help somebody guess.
You know the whereabouts of the law. So.
And if they guess, what if they guessed it today off of that one clue?
We'll give them $50.
$50 and 1 cent, yeah.
I tell you what, how many clues are we going to do today?
We'll do one more before, at least one more.
I'll tell you what, if somebody gets it today, I'll add the other 50 and we'll make it 100.
Cindy,
today only. But I have to proof your clues before you give them.
You know she solved one. And
I know.
Hey Ronnie, can I guess? Can I guess?
No, you can't. And you can't text Melissa to have her to call to guess.
All right. Hey, talking about coaches, and we know the SEC coaches are paid well, and some deservingly so, some maybe not.
I know who you're.
Yeah, we know.
The one who doesn't deserve.
Right. But we're going to talk coordinators.
Offensive, defensive?
Both.
Okay.
It's the duo.
Okay.
Top 10 in the country as ranked by, I think it was Saturdays Down South. Top 10.
In terms of money earned?
No, we're just talking about.
Oh, okay. They're just ranking
top
them.
Recruiters.
Okay, I got you.
Recruiters. Top coordinators.
Coordinators. All right.
You got the best 1-2 punch in the country. As offense and defensive coordinators.
Okay.
Name me three teams that you think would be in there.
Alabama.
Alabama is at number one.
Lane
Kiffin, Kirby Smart.
There you go. Auburn would be in.
Auburn at number three. Rhett Lashley and Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
Without Will Muschamp, Auburn don't make,
they're not
even
in.
Make this list.
They're not in.
You're two for two.
I'm two for two. What did you say what Auburn was ranked?
Auburn was third.
Okay.
Third.
Okay. I'll say just because they won a national championship, Ohio State. I don't know their names.
Ohio State not in there.
Is not in there. Okay.
I'll give you one more.
Oregon.
Oregon is at four.
Okay.
With Scott Frost and Don Pelham.
Okay. I got three.
Yeah. 10, Notre Dame.
I don't know that I would pick that.
Mike Sanford and Auburn's old defensive coordinator, Brian Van Gorder.
Van Gorder,
they call
yeah.
him the old
mustache. You know, exactly. And he was the defensive coordinator with the Falcons.
Right.
And I thought at the time that was the best hire possible.
But, you know,
I thought he was a tremendous hire.
And, folks, I'm going to give you 5 seconds if there's a child listening to cover their ears up when I say this. But Van Gorder, when he came to Auburn with that long mustache, and you've got about 3 seconds now.
Yeah, okay.
He kind of resembled a porn star. he looked like a 70s. This is 2015. That old long mustache.
Yeah, that visual right there.
I just did it like I see it.
Yeah. I hope you didn't say a whole lot.
No. Okay. Number nine, right. Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley and Mike Stoops. The Stoops brothers.
The Stoops brothers. Where's the other Stoops brother? You got 3 seconds.
He is. I know, and I can't think of it.
That's always a patented answer. I know, but I can't think of it.
No, I've got it.
It's in the SEC. Head coach. They wear blue and white.
Kentucky.
There you go.
Wait a minute.
That's Stoops. Stoops'
brother.
I thought
he was gone from Kentucky.
No.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
I promise.
8, UCLA. Norm Mazzone and Tom Bradley.
Mazzone is now, that used to be Auburn's offensive coordinator years ago. What was his first name?
No.
I don't guess it.
Yeah, I know you're thinking about.
I'm talking about way back.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Mazzone?
Under.
Was it Bowden?
Yeah, I think it was Bowden.
Because he
Bowden left. Or the first years of Tuberville. Maybe somebody can call us and let us know that.
Yeah, if somebody knows where this guy is, I think it was Mazzone.
7 is the Florida Gators, and I can't even read my writing right here. It's Doug somebody and Jeff Collins.
Nussmeier. Who was the offensive coordinator at Alabama.
6, Texas A&M. Jake.
I started to say Texas A&M.
How do you pronounce his last name?
I don't know.
Spivital, something. Spivital? John Chavis.
Yeah.
5.
Chavis.
Georgia. Brian Schottenheimer. And Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay. You know who Brian
Pruitt is going to be a head coach.
I do too. You know who Schottenheimer is, don't you? You remember Marty Schottenheimer coached the NFL for many years?
Yeah.
It's his son.
Might know that.
And Jeremy Pruitt is from the big city of Rainesville, Alabama.
I didn't know that.
Played at Plainview High School.
The only other one we've left out, USC at number 2 with Clay Helton and Justin Wilcox. Hmm. I don't know
anything about those.
So what makes them so special, we don't know.
We don't know. They're a little bit far away for us.
But that is the top college coordinator duos, according to...
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't have any problem with it.
You don't have any problem with Alabama being number 1?
No.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that because of one thing, though, and that's I would probably give Lane Kiffin the nod over Rhett Lashley just because of experience. Defense, I'm taking Will Muschamp any day over Kirby Smart.
Are you?
I think Kirby Smart had seen the train pull out of Alabama.
Really?
He should have taken a head coaching job.
Well, he was a hot commodity 2, 3, 4 years ago. Right. I completely agree with you. He's not as hot as he used to be. He might still be simmering, but he's not smoking.
Speaking of not being hot, even...
be careful.
I'd like to say something. I'm going to rephrase this. Even Coach Malzahn down at Auburn has said that they could have hung 60 on Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying that he is becoming outspoken.
He better be careful.
Is he the new Spurrier in the SEC?
Maybe, but it doesn't seem to fit his personality. But maybe he's feeling his oats right now. Maybe he's listening to all the media hype how good they're going to be. Or maybe instead of at the Waffle House having an all-star breakfast, he's out back smoking a little reefer.
Watch it now. We keep people off team for that.
No, you don't.
Well, we've made.
Neither does Alabama either. I heard something about it. I don't know the details. I just skimmed it. I certainly didn't want to read it. I wasn't going to read it, but I knew that you would probably have it.
And I
have
lost it somewhere.
Well, you could pull it up and find it. But, yeah, something to the effect that Auburn should have hung 60 on Alabama instead of the 44 that they hung on them.
Right. And in all honesty, Ronnie, they should have. Being an Alabama fan, as bad as it hurts, you got to admit Auburn should have scored 60 points.
I'll never admit that.
They had the
ball. Against anybody.
4 or 5 times the first half inside the 20-yard line.
Yeah.
And only got field goals.
That's great defense.
Where were they at that other 600 yards?
Oh, it don't matter. They start playing defense when it gets down there close.
Malzahn his exact quote was, "We didn't score touchdowns in the red zone. We should have put 60 on, and we didn't."
Now,
that was the most disappointing thing.
Okay. Fast forward that and tell me, it's in that article, I think. What was the points in the second half?
The points in the second half, I do remember seeing that.
Yeah. It was pretty lopsided, would you not? Naturally, you can't find
it. I don't see it here. And another thing I want to bring this out.
You don't see it.
He has took another shot at Saban in the hurry-up offense, and he does have another good point here because Alabama actually sped the game up last year after Saban cried and cried about the game being too fast.
I agree.
Alabama averaged 72.7 plays per game last year, 9 more than it averaged the year before in 2013. So.
Is that attributed to Saban, or is that attributed to Kiffin?
Well, it all goes through the main man.
Right.
So he had to okay the change. And
I think that's what he wanted. That's why he brought him there.
Saban even has said that they are recruiting different, recruiting speedier defensive guys instead of the big meat up front. And they have to defend the game that's being played today by teams like Auburn and Oregon. Now, does it work? We'll see.
We'll see. I will go out on the limb and say, if Auburn is going to beat Alabama, they will not do it running the football. Period. Jeremy Johnson is going to have a wonderful game throwing the football.
I think Auburn.
And I'm not saying they're not that he's not capable. I'm just saying, I think that's for anybody who beats Alabama this year.
What about Arkansas?
You don't see
Arkansas running the ball?
Arkansas will run the ball for 125 yards.
Oh, no. They'll hit 200 easy.
No.
They might hit 200 before halftime.
No. No chance. None whatsoever. Alabama has the best, probably as good or the best defensive front as they have ever had. You're not going to run the football on
them. We may not, but we'll throw it deep.
You may do that, because I couldn't blame anybody for doing it, but the way the secondary's played the last few years. Now, should they be better? Well, you would think they'd have to be, but they've got basically everybody back. You know, some of these highly recruited freshmen are now, you know, sophomores, or some are juniors. They should be better in the secondary. If the secondary can be okay, be decent, it's going to be hard to hang a lot of points up on them. I don't care how fast you run it, how fast you throw it, how fast you get the line of scrimmage. That's my take. They're that good up front.
And you picked Alabama to go what this year?
I picked them to lose a game. I picked them for Georgia to beat them.
Yeah, you did.
I think that's the only one I picked.
Last year you picked them to go undefeated.
I did. How many did they lose? Two.
Mm-hmm.
I was close, wasn't I?
Two more than you thought.
Well, I was close.
I was closer.
How many did Auburn lose last year?
5.
Okay.
I said 3.
Well, they lost more than you thought, too.
They lost 2 more than I thought.
Hey, I'll take that all day. I'll take that every year. Alabama lose 2 and Auburn lose 5.
You'd take that every year?
Yeah.
Alabama football has went to the level now that you're going to be happy with 2 losses a year.
I will be happy with 2 losses because very possibly whoever comes out of the West is going to have 2 losses. So you can still have 2 losses, win the SEC championship, get in the 14 playoff and win a national championship with 2 losses.
2 very interesting things.
You got to agree with
Chris
that.
Chris Andrews, we talked to him Thursday.
Yeah.
He picked the top 4 teams. He got 3 of them out and didn't have an SEC team, man.
That's
then
right.
He was kind of battling with the thought of an SEC team not even making the
I remember him saying that.
And so
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. It could be a case of eating our own, you know.
It could be because of the dominance of the SEC West. And when we come back from a break, I have an article here, and it was in it was on the internet a few days ago. But I thought it was very telling about the sheer dominance of the SEC West since 2009. So, I firmly believe somebody can come out of the West and win and lose 2 games, and win the conference championship and still make the 4-team playoff.
That would be a possibility. Another strange one, and maybe I'm missing something, but people have projected Alabama, media has projected Alabama to win the West and have projected Auburn to win the SEC. Now, how is that possible? Am I missing something? You have to win the West to play in the SEC championship.
I don't know. Picked Alabama to win the West.
Picked Alabama to win the West, but Auburn got the pick to win the SEC.
I don't know. If someone knows how that could be done, yeah, give us a call. Give us a call at 737-9505 and tell us how Auburn can win the SEC. Maybe the
Alabama win the West and Auburn win the SEC. SEC. I don't think it's possible. I think it's just happened to be the way the votes failed or something.
Yeah. I don't understand that either. But that's my take. I believe SEC could have two teams or have a team in the West with two losses and still get a national championship.
Do you think there's a possibility of the West or the SEC? If the West is not there, nobody's going to be there, but the SEC don't get a team in the playoff.
Boy.
Would football end as we know it if the West?
Yeah, check and see what your ratings are like. It was a four-team playoff and nobody in the SEC in it.
So, Oregon and a Washington and
a USC and a Notre Dame. Notre Dame have a lot of people watching.
Hey,
there's Georgia. Some people picking Georgia in the national championship game.
Won't happen.
Okay.
All right. The news means it's time for a break. We'll be right back and let Ronnie fill us in on the SEC West. We're even going to talk a little basketball later on in the show.
Roll Tide, Avery Johnson.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388. If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live on Coleman's independent radio station. We are Live 95, WRJMLP. Coleman, your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
All right, Ronnie, we were talking about the Western Division and how dominant the West has been.
That's right.
Catch us up to date.
Yeah, I saw this article, a few days ago, and it was specifically talking about the SEC and how they have not only dominated the SEC West has dominated the Southeastern Conference, but how it has really dominated the country, as well, just out of one division. So I'm going to take you through kind of a litany of dates going back 5 years to kind of give everybody, an idea of just how dominant the SEC West. This started on December the 5th, 2009, when Alabama upset, Roll Tide, defending national champion and number one ranked Florida in the conference championship game. At that time, Nick Saban ascends to the top of college football, and that was the end of the Tim Tebow era. So that's how far back we're talking, is when Alabama in 2009 beat Florida. And you remember Tim Tebow was kneeled down and tears rolling down his eye, down his cheek. So that was in 2009. On January the 7th, then Alabama defeated Texas for the national title. From that point on, the SEC West was in charge of America's strongest football conference. Get this. From 2009-2014, Jason, the SEC West team has won every conference championship. 3 by Bama, 2 by Auburn, and 1 by LSU. So since 2000, and I really didn't, the years just kind of start running together and you kind of forget about it.
Right.
But since 2009, the SEC West has won every championship game. Only one championship game that was in 2012 has been decided by fewer than 17 points. Fewer than 17 points. One time. And that was when that was in 2012 when Alabama beat Georgia 32-28. Get this. The East hasn't gotten it done from September through November. During this time, they have a they never have had a winning record against the SEC West. Doing no better, the best they've done is 7-7 in 2012. So the East has never had a winning record since 09 against the West. Their overall record is 33-63 in the conference play. Last year the record was 4-10. The East record was 4-10, and Missouri and Georgia, they scored all four of the victories. So the only two teams to win a cross-divisional game was Missouri and Georgia.
Hey, talking about the 5-6 there, Ronnie, take it a step further on the SEC championships, or 6-7, whatever it was, 5-6. Within the state of Alabama, all but one of those SEC championships came back here. So it was Alabama with three, Auburn with two, and LSU with one.
That's right. So. That's right. There were six of them, and five of them were won in the state of Alabama. You know, nothing really else needs to be said.
Who needs the rest of them?
Who needs the rest of them? That's right. This was also interesting. The SEC, the West, has had the best talent. That's pretty obvious by how they've dominated. That includes three Heisman Trophy winners, 2009, 2009 it was Mark Ingram, yeah. 2010 was Cam Newton, and in 2012 you had Johnny Manziel. They've also had five others that were in the top five, you know, that got to go to New York. That's Cooper last year, A.J. McCarron, Manziel, Trent Richardson, and Ty Matthew of LSU. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. You know, the best talent normally wins most of the games, and that's pretty obvious that that's what's taking place there. They also go on and they mention, you know, why the West has kind of become the dominant the West has become, you know, dominant over the East, and they started off by blaming Tennessee because, you know, the Volunteers, you know, they've had a very, very strong program for many years. They've won 811 games, which is 10th most in the country at 811 wins. That's impressive. But during this stretch of time, they have gone 40-47 overall and 17-39 in the league.
Do you think Tennessee, the old Orange, ever think, what in the heck were we doing when we fired Fuller?
Yeah, I'm sure they are now.
I mean,
you know, when Tennessee was strong, Tennessee was dominant. Tennessee went through a period of time where they wore Alabama out. Yeah. But, you know, it goes in cycles, and we know that. Now Alabama's beat them, you know, about nine straight years. So the fall off of Tennessee has a lot to do with the SEC West dominance, and then there's one other club that has fallen off the face of the map as well, and that's the Florida Gators.
Right.
You know, and not blaming, you know, it is what it is, and every club, you know, is probably going to go through those difficult times, you know, at some time or another. But
it would be like Alabama and Auburn both being bad at the same time in the West.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
you know, you just never know. But I thought that was interesting of really what, and that's just a quick summary or breakdown of what's taking place from 2009 through 2014. So if Florida and Tennessee can get it going, I think it will balance back out. But as it stands right now, the West is just complete, you know, has been just completely dominant in the SEC.
Who do you think finishes in the bottom? We always talk about the top of the SEC. Let's look at the West, Ronnie. Who do you see as finishing
at the very bottom?
Bottom two in the West.
The bottom two in the West?
We'll see how you compare with.
Okay.
I think, again, it was Saturdays down south.
Okay. My two teams, just off the top of my head, that I would pick as my bottom two are going to be both the Mississippi schools.
Both Mississippi schools.
Is there somebody I'm missing that's bad? I mean, there is nobody bad in the West.
No.
So I'm going to take Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and probably both of them make bowl games.
Yeah, Mississippi State seems to be the hot name in this one. Ole Miss mentioned a few times.
I've seen that too. You know, some people really giving Mississippi State a lot of love, probably because of Prescott.
The top teams getting votes for the bottom two or three would be Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Mississippi State.
That are
your three that get most of the attention from the bottom three. So,
Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Arkansas.
Right. In no particular order.
In no particular order. Arkansas was 6-6 last year and went to a bowl game and should be better this year. I wonder if every team in the West will make a bowl game this coming year.
Oh, I think so.
I'd be shocked if they don't.
I think so. I think the SEC, even with our weak East sister, still puts 9 or 10 in bowl games.
So the West, there's I'm not looking at it. How many are in the West?
Seven.
That's right, 7 in each one. So that's 7. And then the East side, you're going to have Georgia's going to make a bowl.
Tennessee's
going to make a bowl. And
Missouri or Florida, one of them two will make it.
I think Missouri will before Florida this year.
I hope you're right. I don't really care if Florida makes a bowl game.
I don't either.
I used to be a Florida fan, but
not anymore.
Not anymore. Spurrier's gone. The controversy's gone. It's no fun anymore.
So. Spurrier keep
now
the pot stirred.
Malzahn
is the Spurrier. He is the Steve Spurrier of the state of Alabama. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Hang 60 on him.
Hang 60. I wonder if that could come back and that could be the.
Get me a shirt made.
That could be the greatest statement that he's made, or it could come back to haunt him.
No, he didn't say they were going to do it this year.
No, I know.
They should have done it last year.
Yeah, I know.
And you know Nick Saban's smart enough to know, hey, yeah, they should have.
Oh. 60?
60. They scored 44.
Yeah. How many Bama score?
55.
So they should have scored 100.
No, they should have scored about 40.
with the defensive club that Auburn had, Alabama should have scored 75 easy.
You're probably right. I think, you could have scored 30.
Yeah.
All we had to do, if one of us could have thrown it, we could have never held up to a run.
No, we couldn't
have
run.
So.
No, that would never happen.
Never mind. We'll go on to something else.
Oh, man. All right.
SEC top 10 Heisman contenders, according to Vegas. Want to take a stab at it?
This is SEC?
SEC. Top 10 Heisman contenders.
Well.
You know one.
One's going to be Jeremy Johnson.
Jeremy Johnson. Pops the list.
Yeah. Chubb from Georgia.
Nick
running
Chubb.
Back from
Actually,
Georgia.
Actually, he is in a tie for first right now with Jeremy Johnson.
Well, he is really, really good.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's proven he's good.
He is hard to bring down.
I mean, he's already proven
right. He's
good. So, Johnson, Chubb. I had another one there, and it has just completely left. I'll say Duke Williams.
I don't think he's on the list, but he probably should be.
Okay.
No, he's not on the list. Alabama.
Does Alabama have anybody?
Alabama has got a couple of players far back.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry at plus 2,500, so a dollar would win you 2,500.
Oh, not a very good chance for Derrick to win that thing. I don't know.
LSU.
Leonard Fournette.
Right. And Mississippi State at number 4 with Prescott.
Prescott, I should have got that.
And I had told you wrong. Dollar would win you 250 on
that. Okay.
Get this one at 6. Now, when you get back 6, you're stretching it.
Yeah. You're number 6 out of one conference.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about across the country. We're talking about one conference.
Tennessee quarterback Joshua Dobbs.
I didn't even know who the quarterback was.
If he is the same dude I seen last year.
He is. I'm almost positive of that.
He'd be lucky if he starts. I mean, when that the game I seen him, he looked bad, and that's putting it nicely.
So I think the player who has the best chance to get there is Jeremy Johnson over Chubb.
Yeah,
I think he has a better chance because he is a quarterback. And if he puts up
the big numbers, it's
He's going to get the nod over the running back.
But Chubb,
really good player.
Yeah, I had rather, and I can't think of his name last year, Gurley.
Ty.
I had rather Gurley be in the game
yeah.
and be playing Georgia than Chubb be in the game.
Yeah, and who wanted either one of them? You know, Gurley's going to certainly be a starter in the NFL.
But
he's out hurt right now, but he
Georgia
will be a starter.
Georgia is Georgia, and they will take care of themselves down the line.
That's right. Before, we're going to go to a break. Hey, let's do this, and then we'll take a break. Also, you're talking about, we mentioned Chubb and Gurley and those guys at running back. They've also come out with the preseason rankings for the best teams' running backs. I guess that may not be said exactly, right, but they've ranked the teams who have the best running backs. The number one, let's start at we'll just do the top 10.
Ronnie, I hate to interrupt you, buddy Tommy Warhurst has sent a text in and said Auburn should have scored 70. They kicked 5 field goals. So I have somebody that agrees with me. So.
Well, I can't tell Tommy. I'll talk to him later. I'll send him a text.
Now go ahead.
Okay. We would just do the top 5. How about that? Top 5 SEC schools with running backs. What would be your number one pick?
My number one running back?
Which school has the best stable of running backs?
I would say Georgia just because of Chubb.
That's right. Georgia, they are number one with Nick Chubb, Sony Mitchell, and Keith Marshall. Number two?
Alabama.
You got it, with Derrick Henry. Of course, there's a lot of question marks right there with Alabama's running backs. Derrick Henry, who, as a freshman was impressive, and as a sophomore, had a good year, not a great year. We'll see how he does this year. And then you've got Kenyon Drake. How's he going to be after coming back from that broken, ankle or lower leg, whatever the case may be? If he can be healthy, look out for Kenyon Drake. I mean, he's a game changer. And then Damian Harris, who was the number two running back in the country last year from Kentucky. And then Bo Scarborough, who is from there at, I think, from Northridge High School in Tuscaloosa, but he has been suspended for 4 games.
Imagine
Don't
that.
Know why, but he has been suspended. So Georgia's 1, Alabama 2. Number 3, you want to take a stab?
I don't know number 3.
LSU, Leonard Fournette.
I should have got 3.
Number 3 is 10. I'm sorry, number 3 is LSU.
Come on, throw me a bone.
Number 4 is?
Auburn.
No. Tennessee. I said Tennessee.
Come on.
You weren't even listening. And number 5, this is running backs. Yeah. Number 5, the Auburn Tigers.
I'm going to keep saying Auburn.
It's like when you go to church, you say Jesus, and you can't be wrong. So that's the top 5 schools with the best stable of running backs: Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn, according to this poll, which means nothing.
Right. It's just like we need to put out our own poll.
That's right. Absolutely. It makes just as much sense. So there you go.
Oh, and Jeffrey Sullins text in, I agree, Auburn should have scored way more than they did. 5 field goals in the red zone. So
That's defense,
Ronnie,
boys.
Ronnie, it's...
Do you watch pro football?
Yeah.
Do they not run up down the field?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. What happens when they get inside the 20? There's a lot of field goals kicked.
A lot, but a lot of times they cash it in. Auburn should have been cashing them in.
Maybe they just didn't have...
It wasn't defense, it was offense.
They just didn't have enough studs in the stable up front to get it done.
I have to agree. I got tired of watching field goals. I wanted them to run it on in.
They couldn't. They tried.
Playing too safe.
I mean, they just didn't quit.
Playing too safe. Playing not to lose instead of playing to win.
I tell you, they won't get an opportunity to put 44 up this year.
No, they won't. They will put 44 up
this year.
They
won't put more than 20.
I will bet you 4 steak dinners right now Auburn scores more than 20.
Nope, won't happen.
We got to bet.
We got it.
All right. I've got people listening as my witness.
Auburn will not score over 20 points this year against Alabama.
Ronnie, the music's playing. Means it's time for a break. I have just earned me 4 steak dinners. Compliments of Ronnie Barnes. So we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, Tuesday afternoon.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388. If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Cullman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Cullman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Cullman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Cullman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. It is 5:25, and Jason has gone to get a menu from the local steak from the restaurant to determine where he wants to get his steak. If, and I say it's a big if Auburn could put up more than 20 points against Alabama, I have bet him a steak dinner they can't do it. But in the meantime, we've got Sheila on the phone with us, so Jason, take it away, buddy.
Hey, Sheila, welcome to Sports Talk Live. Great to have you calling again this season.
How are y'all doing?
Hey, great. How about you?
I'm doing good.
What have you done with yourself during the time we've been off the air?
Babysit.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, that goes on pretty regularly around the house. Not by me, though. So I'm not much of a babysitter. So they have to get 4 to 5 years old before I can handle them. So.
Aw, you should keep them all the time.
Yeah. What do you think about Ronnie's outrageous comments?
I was going to tell Ronnie, Auburn puts up at least 35 of them.
Oh, yeah. There's no question in my mind. If Auburn don't score 20 or more on Alabama, it's going to be a long season.
And you tell Ronnie, I love Ronnie, but you tell him that people will get through that Alabama line.
Oh.
People can run through that line.
Yeah. Hey, it's the Iron Curtain, Sheila.
That's right.
Hey, Auburn's defensive line, I think, is going to be pretty good unless they get somebody hurt and they ain't got nobody to back them up.
Auburn defense should be much improved over last year. Of course, there's only one way to go from there. So.
That's true. Hey, and that participation trophy thing, Jason, let me check. First time you see one of those little ones run up to you like Cooper does with his trophy, you'll change your mind.
Well, I don't know, Sheila. I'm pretty hardcore on this one. So.
Oh, Jason, I'm telling you, Cooper will run out and show me those trophies and nothing like that.
But what do you tell them when they get in junior high school and they don't get anything?
Well, listen, they have to grow up and learn, but when they're little kids, let them be little kids.
Well,
let them enjoy being little kids. They have to grow up soon enough.
So what we really need to tell them, hey, enjoy this trophy that Mom and Dad bought you.
There you go. And listen, James, at that age, they don't care where those trophies come from.
That's right. And you know how that ends up, Sheila? It ends up with a room full of trophies that you have nothing to do with, that goes on the shelf, and then I'm speaking from experience, when the kids move out,
you still have the trophies at your house.
I have four of those big totes full in my little shed out there.
Right.
But I can remember when they got them, too. How
yeah, and you can look back and say, well, my child played in 19-whatever. So.
A long time ago for me, Jace, a long time ago.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm getting old myself.
I tell you what, I do not agree with y'all. And you're going to be shocked. I just don't see Georgia being that good.
Well, I hope you're right.
I just don't see it.
They're picked every year, and every year they lay an egg. So.
And you know, this is one of those years where I really, really don't know. I think Auburn's going to be good, but then again, you know, you just got that.
Well, if you had to pick right now, who would you pick? Who would you pick out of the West and out of the East in the SEC Championship?
Well, I'm picking Auburn, of course.
No, that's a smart pick.
The Auburn, then. You talking about the playoffs?
Right, and the playoffs, in the SEC Championship.
SEC Championship.
Auburn will have to play somebody out of the East.
What is that?
Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia. And if you want to go way on down, Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri.
Yeah, I don't know none of them, but, you know, I guess if you have to pick out a bunch, it would be Georgia.
So you're putting them there?
Yeah, I think they're just going to lose more games than people think they are. But you have to have somebody out of that.
Right, you got to take somebody.
Yes, you do, and, you know,
Hey, let me get Ronnie in here, Sheila, and see if you can talk a little sense into him.
I can't.
I think he's a lost cause.
I think he is.
He owes me so many steaks now that I won't ever collect them.
We love him, but he's a lost cause.
Oh, yeah. I love him like a brother, and I enjoy eating steak. So, hey, I'm going to let Ronnie talk to you just a second.
Okay.
We're having to do this makeshift today.
Okay.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So you agree with Jason, as I knew you would, that Auburn's going to hang a lot more than 20 on Bama?
I do. I mean, I think Bama scored like two, but I do. I think they'll score at least 35.
All right. We may have to make a contest. We may have to make a contest out of this as the season goes on. No, I'm not buying everybody steaks.
I think there'll be a lot of scoring in that game, I'm afraid.
There may be, but I think I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say that Auburn does not put up more than 20 against Bama.
I just don't see that happening. But you know what? It's like I told Jason. Until I see a first couple games from any team.
You don't know. That's exactly right. Hey, Sheila, let's change gears for just a minute. And I know Cold Springs plays this weekend, correct?
We do. We play Friday night
at Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Above Jasper, Oakman, somewhere around in there?
Yeah, Brilliant is it's right off of, it's kind of close to Carbon Hill, and it's right off of that Interstate 22, that Corridor X. It's kind of where it is. So, do you know what kind of team Coach Elliott's going to have? Who he has back, or anything that you're keeping up with?
All the talk I've heard, and my son-in-law, you know, the assistant helps coach there.
Sure.
So, I think they're going to be pretty good. I mean, we lost a few good ones, but we don't have anybody really that big. We just got some gritty players.
Right.
You know, just some tough players.
Uh huh.
And I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I saw Coach Elliott maybe two or three weeks ago maybe a month ago down at Cold Springs, and he seemed very excited about his, you know, about his club. And so when you're excited about him, you think, you know, you got a chance to, you know, to put a pretty good product out there. And
yeah,
I know they made the playoffs last year, and, you know, I'm sure that's kind of the standard now.
Yes, we lost that heartbreaker game, you know, by one point over it. Can't remember the name of that place was now.
Yeah, right. So maybe you can, maybe you can get to the second round or beyond that. So
they're just a bunch of good kids, you know, just not afraid kids. You know what I'm talking about? Tough.
Yes.
They try hard. I think they're gonna do good things.
Well, great. Well, hey, you give us a call back. You know, anytime you can, we love to hear from you. And certainly, as it gets closer to Alabama Auburn, we're gonna really push this 20-point thing, and you can call us back after it's over and maybe be able to gloat.
Oh, God. No, I don't gloat.
Well, Jason will do enough for you.
Jason will do enough for both of
us. Exactly. That's right.
Well, I'm telling you, he he's already started.
That, yeah, I agree. Hey, thanks, Sheila. We appreciate it.
Thank
you. All right. Good to hear from you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sheila. The number, if you want to call and tell us what's on your mind, are we wrong? Am I crazy? Is Ronnie crazy? Or somewhere in the middle, both of us crazy? Let us know. 256-737-9505. Again, we're doing it makeshift like we did back in the old days, I guess. But we're making do. So, Ronnie, I've got three that agrees with me. So far, nobody else in your corner.
Well, they're all Auburn fans. That's why.
Well, no, Jeffrey's not. He's a Florida State fan. But he probably, if it came down to it, he would pick Auburn before Alabama.
Absolutely.
Of course, if it came down to it, he'd probably pick Iraq before he would Alabama.
you may have a point there, but hey, you know, that's my prediction, and I'm sticking with it. I don't care what happens.
You don't care if it's 20-3 at the end of the first quarter.
I'm still going to stay with it.
You still
I got
stay
to. I don't have a choice.
You can't back down. No.
I'm not backing down. It won't be 20-3 at the end of the first quarter. It won't be 20 at the end of the game. I'm just licking my chops.
So at 20, we got to push, right? 20, nobody wins.
Nobody wins. That's
you
right.
You said over 20.
Over 20.
All right.
So they got to hang 21.
So 19, you're a winner. 21, I'm a winner.
That's exactly right. For a steak dinner. And we may make a contest out of this where people just call and give us their prediction, and closest one will win whatever.
Now, we may get a shirt made with this or something before it's over with.
Yeah, just whatever. But that's my take.
Hey, Ronnie, we got a few minutes to finish up football. When we come back from our next break, we're going to dive a little bit into Alabama and Auburn basketball. And who thought we would even be mentioning Alabama
in August?
And Auburn basketball? Yeah, this early. I mean, who in their right mind would be talking?
That's
about
never happened that I know
things
of.
Things are changing.
The only thing if the Coliseum burned down or something, that'd be the only talk that there would be.
That might be a second page news story.
Yeah, it won't be front page. That's exactly right.
You let some grass die on one of the football fields, and it's going to be front page.
You got that right.
All right, Twin Billings, toughest back-to-back games for each SEC team west. We kind of went through something similar to this last week. Alabama, tell me what you think, Ronnie. Their toughest back-to-back at Georgia and versus Arkansas. That's October 3rd.
Is that supposed to be their toughest?
That's supposed to be their toughest back-to-back.
Georgia and Arkansas. That's a pretty good handful.
Arkansas will play at Tennessee and at Alabama. Back-to-back weeks.
Okay. It's not as tough as Georgia and Arkansas.
No. Alabama's got the toughest one right now. So, Auburn will play at LSU and at Mississippi State. Of course, it's Auburn that anybody ought to beat them. That's candy scared you there.
Okay, tell me again, at LSU.
At LSU.
That'd be a handful.
And playing Mississippi State at Auburn.
Well, I don't give Mississippi State any love at all this year. I just don't. So I don't see that. You know, I know everybody else, and probably everybody else knows more than I do. I think that goes without saying. But I just don't see it a lot from Mississippi State. I think Auburn just destroys Mississippi State.
They should. Auburn played as bad as they could play last year and was still in the game till late.
I mean, I just don't see it.
All right, LSU at Mississippi State and playing Auburn at home.
Well, that's just kind of flipped from the previous, isn't it? Yeah.
Ole Miss playing Texas A&M at home and at Auburn.
That doesn't impress me.
That don't impress me, no.
I think there's a song by
Mississippi
that.
State at Auburn and at Texas A&M.
Yeah. At Auburn. But I'm not sold on Texas A&M either.
I think I'm going to give my winner to Texas A&M. Looking, they're the last team I'm going to call out. Playing Alabama at home. They'll play them at Texas, at their home stadium.
College Station.
And at Ole Miss. So I think they're going to have the toughest back-to-back.
You think that's tougher than Alabama? Who is Georgia and Arkansas? You've been out behind Waffle House,
too. I don't know about Arkansas yet.
Well,
Arkansas or Ole Miss? Who wins that game?
Arkansas is Head and Shoulders better than Ole Miss.
Nah, I don't know about that, Ronnie.
You want to make another bet?
We will have Chris Andrews, speaking of betting, will be on with us Thursday, and we may run some of this by him, see what he thinks. We're going to ask him about the Auburn and the 20-point question.
Okay, you go ahead. He's not going to agree with it either. I've just had a premonition, I'm telling you. It's going to happen.
Oh, there's no telling what else you'll see before the year goes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Kind of like, what was that premonition I had last year?
Yeah, the Ole Miss was going to beat Alabama.
I couldn't remember.
I knew. Yeah. Well, I've had mine this year, and Auburn scored more than 20 on Bama.
All right, the music's playing. Means it's time for a break. When we come back, as we said, we're going to talk round ball.
Wow.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live 95.5 Tuesday edition.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
In the ARN News Center, I mean Gene Orfell, Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump makes his first appearance in Alabama this week. It happens Friday night in Mobile. More information to be released later. A recent poll shows Trump holding a big lead in Alabama's Republican primary. Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says five people face drug charges. They say unrelated investigations during a one-week period resulted in the seizure of cocaine, marijuana, meth, heroin, cash, and guns. Their drug probe stretching from Oak Grove to Center Point. A former DeKalb County officer faces numerous tampering charges. Sheriff's Office says 32-year-old Nicholas Butler of Scottsboro has been charged with five counts of tampering with government records. Sheriff Jimmy Harris says new charges come after he was levied with another tampering charge earlier this month. Further testing of a man who was being treated for a possible virus have come up negative. The man being treated at an Opelika hospital for possible Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. Health Department ordering the extra testing as a precaution. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A jury has acquitted a Tuscaloosa man arrested and charged in a rape case 3 years ago. 58-year-old Tyrone White charged in July 2012, a few days after a 61-year-old woman told cops a man grabbed her, placed a bag over her head, and sexually assaulted her behind a home. White's attorney says one juror told him after the trial that there had been too many contradictions in the evidence presented by prosecutors to convict White. Authorities have recovered the body of a boater missing since a weekend crash on Wilson Lake. State troopers say the body of 62-year-old Sid Elliott was found this morning. He was among eight boaters thrown into the water Saturday night after their pontoon boat collided with a barge. Also killed 79-year-old Catherine Eckham. Six surviving boaters taken to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Gardendale police officer James Unangst, honored by the city council for his assistance in a major food stamp fraud bust. His initial arrest prompted raids at 11 convenience stores and netted 257 arrest warrants. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Free feels good.
In money news, Hoover City leaders approved liquor sales at Costco. Some residents worry it would make it easier for minors to get access to liquor, but Costco officials say their staff goes through extensive training and the liquor will be sold in a separate part of the store with its own entrance where minors will not have access. State Department of Revenue says they're taking steps to make their website, My Alabama Taxes, or MAT, more secure. The system, launched last month, allows retailers to file state and some city and county sales and use, rental, and lodging taxes while online. Users will have to enter a logon and password plus a secondary entry that requires users to have an authentication code. Officials say the system is secure. This move just adds another layer of protection. Residential sales in Birmingham increased in July by 6%, according to a report from the Alabama Center for Real Estate. Over 1,300 homes sold in the Birmingham metro area last month. Little change in gas prices across the state. Average price per gallon, $2.21. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
I-42, back with you, Sports Talk Live, and running something that we didn't do last year, I know. Let's talk about Alabama Auburn basketball in the month of August.
They have a team?
Yeah.
I think they just started a team last year from what both of them played.
Things are changing. So
in a hurry.
Fill us in on Alabama's latest recruit and Bruce Pearl doing the same thing at all.
Yeah, you got to give Bruce Pearl his kudos too. But I will just quickly mention Avery Johnson. I think he's hit a home run here with a kid by the name of Terrence Ferguson. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He is a 6'6" guard, shooting guard. He ranks number 11 according to Rivals. That's number 11 player in the country, and he ranks as the number 2 shooting guard in all the country. He chose Alabama over schools like Kansas, North Carolina, Louisville, just to mention a few. So there is the first, I guess that's the first 5-star recruit for Avery Johnson at the University of Alabama. By the name of Terrence Ferguson. So, folks,
Alabama's highest recruit in over a decade.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long has it been since they've had a 4- or 5-star recruit? So as Jason just said, it's been over 10 years. So, Avery Johnson, I thought he was a good hire when they hired him because of his NBA ties, and I think Jason, this just is a testament to that because. We've talked many times. John Calipari has changed college basketball maybe forever by what he has done at Kentucky, by recruiting those just phenomenal athletes, and they stay there 1 year, 2 years max, and then they're going on to the NBA. Right. People used to criticize him for that, and now people like Mike Krzyzewski, he's doing exactly the same thing. Last year he had Okafor, who stayed 1 year, phenomenal post player. Every school out there is trying to get these elite athletes, even though they know they're not going, they're not certainly going to stay with them for 4 years. Those days are basically over. So you just got to give Avery Johnson kudos there for getting this kid away from a Kentucky or a Kansas or a North Carolina and convincing him some way, somehow to come to the University of Alabama.
Right, and who would have thought at any point that Alabama-Auburn would be mentioned in the same breath as Kentucky and North Carolina?
Absolutely.
We're talking on the break, Auburn number 7 in the nation, you said?
In the nation. I heard that yesterday, that Auburn is up to number 7 in the country with this recruiting class coming. I guess it'll be the 2016 class, I guess is what they're...
Number 1 recruiting class right now in the SEC. Now,
right.
Excuse me if I'm wrong, but last time I checked, Kentucky is in the SEC.
Yeah, that's right.
So Auburn recruiting class, as of now, ranked higher than Kentucky.
Yeah, that's monstrous. That is huge. And it's great for the state of Alabama.
Right.
Because, we all love, Auburn and Alabama football. And, yes, they're huge. And, yes, they're dominant. And, no, the basketball is never going to... It's never going to measure to what the football is, but there is no excuse that there can't be good quality basketball played in Tuscaloosa and Auburn. There's just no excuse.
And it looks like, barring something unforeseen, we're going to see it in the next couple of years.
I'm going to go watch some of it.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't have given me a ticket last year.
And a free ticket.
You could have ridden or ride me down there in a limousine. I still wouldn't have gone. And it's not. I'm not throwing off on
even
the kids.
Even with a Pee Wee football banquet.
Even with a Pee Wee football banquet. And I don't mean that as an insult to the kids. That's not what I'm saying. It's just, they just couldn't get the caliber of athletes they need to compete on a national level. And now with names like Bruce Pearl and Avery Johnson, they're able to, they're just able to recruit better, and that's the name of the game.
And right here is another one yet to make up his mind. Austin Wiley, a 5-star center, class of 2017, has cut his list to 13 schools now.
Oh, cut his list to 13.
Yeah, those schools. Now, again, this is odd, putting Alabama and Auburn in there, but these schools are Alabama, Auburn, Duke, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, LSU, Michigan State, Mississippi State, North Carolina, UAB, and Vanderbilt.
Where's the kid from? Do you have that?
He is from, It doesn't say where he's from.
Okay, we can look
at
it.
Yeah, he is from Spain Park High School in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay, there's the UAB tie then.
Right.
Okay, so he's from Spain Park. Maybe, yeah. And Jason, I think that kid right there could be the turning factor, and hear me out, the turning factor in how Alabama and Auburn does as their programs go forward. Not necessarily for him as a player, but can they keep the best players in the state of Alabama in Alabama at either Alabama, Auburn, or UAB? Because you've got to lump UAB in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, UAB is the best team in the country.
Right.
I mean, the best team in this state.
Right.
So they certainly have to be given great consideration. But that's going to be the key is whenever the state has these elite players, is are they able to keep them in the state of Alabama? And if they can't keep them in the state of Alabama, they're only going to be mediocre. But that's just the bottom line.
I agree with you 100%. Wiley, 6'10", averaged 19 points and 12.2 rebounds per game. He is the number 15 overall recruit in the class of 2017. So, and Ronnie, that's stretching it on out there.
It is stretching it, but it's never too early to get your name in the hat.
That's what I was going to ask you. How early is too early to start recruiting kids? I mean,
well, you hear of it now where you got kids in the eighth grade that people are after,
right?
You know, and if one's going to be after them, and if they're that potentially that caliber of an athlete, you better get your name in hat when they're young.
People already recruiting LeBron James kid when he's playing something to the
equivalent like a youth
basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on.
And LeBron says, you know, leave him alone. Well, LeBron quit posting videos.
Yeah, that goes hand in hand too. You know,
LeBron is
take his
that
take
on
his
LeBron.
Trophies away from him and make him earn them. So, but yeah, I'm excited. I tell you, I'm excited about the basketball in this state. With Avery Johnson and Bruce Pearl. I mean, granted, we'd love the football, but it's nice to be able to have some round ball to talk about, too. But now, Auburn had some, you may not have it, but they've had some other kids that they've gotten. You know, Alabama has the Ferguson kid, but I think Bruce Pearl's assigned two or three.
Yeah, he's got a five-star shooting guard, Mustafa Heron. Committed after an unofficial visit to St. John's in Mississippi State. He had been considered to be headed to one of those schools, and then
some way
Bruce pulled the magic. I don't know the names, but they also signed a four and a three star, or have a commitment from a four and three star. So
they're
going 5-4-3.
So you can tell their talent level, at least from what people talk about recruiting, about the four star, five star, that kind of stuff. Their level of their level of talent that they're going to be putting on the floor should certainly increase.
Auburn's teams the past few years, if you had to give them a star, I would say they would get a half a star.
And that's not throwing up on the kids,
if they were sitting in a boot.
Yeah, they just weren't a good team.
No.
So,
not throwing off on the kids, they were just bad.
They were just bad. So it's exciting.
They needed a participation trophy.
Absolutely.
Sheila, I'm sorry, but I still don't go along with the participation trophy. All right, 5:51, about a minute past our last break. We'll be right back to wrap it up for today and tell you what's coming up on Thursday's show. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series.
We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Live 53, back with you, Sports Talk Live, and we haven't forgot Moolah. Giving any notice today.
That's it.
So, Ronnie, give us clue number two and remind everybody clue number one. This is Where's Moolah, brought to you by People's Bank.
That's right, and it's for $50.
$50, and Ronnie has agreed to double it if it is solved today. And you've got 6 minutes to call,
737-9505. The first clue is if you're looking for
a bargain, you might look here.
Right.
That's clue number one.
Give us clue.
Clue number two, if you've ever lost something, you might look here.
All right.
That's clue number two.
That's two good clues. Solvable.
That's right.
Who knows?
We'll see. There's 6 minutes. To solve it at 737.
I want to see somebody solve it, so you have to double it. That happened to me.
That happened to you. That's right. 737-9505 if you want to take a guess at where Moolah is hidden.
Coming up on Thursday's show, we'll kick it off at 4 o'clock, and at 4:20 we'll have, Greg Smith. But it won't be. It will be Chris Andrews, Vegas odds maker, been in it for 30 years.
Yeah,
this man has been around and the phone is ringing. Ronnie is sweating now. So, he has been around a long time. Vegas odds maker.
Yeah.
He'll join us at 4:20. At around 5 o'clock, Dr. Knowledge.
That's Dan right. Vosta, Dan Vosta will be with us.
And at 5:30, Rex will be on to talk fishing. So a full show lined up Thursday.
That's right.
So Ronnie, have we got somebody taking a guess here or... Cindy is on the line, and Ronnie is really sweating. Now, Ronnie, you go take this one.
Since I don't want to take it.
You go take the call since you agreed to double the prize. And I'll bet she's going to solve it. Ronnie is headed to the phone now. Again, we're doing this makeshift, so.
How are you?
I'm fine. Well, since you put another 50 in there,
yeah.
I ain't got none of your money yet.
All right. What is it?
Unclaimed bag.
Yeah. You are exactly right, Cindy.
Are you serious?
Yes, you are exactly right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I will get with Jason. Give me a day or two, and I'll have to get with him. Because I don't have it in my pocket right now. So, how did you get it? Was it
when y'all said looking for a bargain, I don't know. I think it's a God thing.
It must be. Well, there you go, Cindy. You started it off with a bang.
All right.
Good deal. Congratulations, Cindy.
Thank you.
All righty, huh? Bye-bye.
Well, Ronnie has $50 lighter in the pocket today. Ronnie, we should have known better than that.
Ching, ching, ching. Oh, man. She rang me up.
Telling you. I think she could solve it without a clue. I think we're going to try that.
Wow. And the thing is, the second clue didn't really do it for her.
The first one said that
if you're looking for a bargain, and she calls and says unclaimed baggage.
Right.
Which is in Scottsboro. It's not like it's in it's in Bremen.
Right.
Or Dodge City.
Yeah, it's not like she goes by it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Well, there you go.
So anyway, $50 lighter. We are both $50 lighter now, so.
What is tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. So I'll get with you.
We're going to have to get a charge account with her.
Absolutely.
All right, 5-7. There we go. Again, if you want to listen to the show, go back and get a kick out of some of the things we've said or didn't say. You can do it on demand tonight. Just go to the website and hit on demand and look up today's show. All the shows, even from last year, are still on there. So
today's show, very promo worthy. Yeah, we'll be stealing some pieces from today. I think.
No telling what we'll get out of this one.
That's right.
But again, Thursday, 4 o'clock at 4:20, roundabout Chris Andrews, againstthenumber.com. 5 o'clock, Dan Vosta with Campus Insider at 5:30. Rex Chambers, the old fishing pole. So
there you go.
Until then, I'm going to leave it and go hunt $50.
Heard that.
We'll talk to you Thursday. War Eagle.
Roll Tide.
See you Thursday, folks. Yeah.
I'm a little depressed now, Jesse.
Yeah! Another one. That's
sinking quickly to the ground. See your faith in me subside and see you prime for giving in. I give you all that I am. I am the sound of love's arriving, echoed softly on the sand. Lay your head upon my shoulder, lay your hand within my hand.